Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Girl Claudia Jordan. We are here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and on social media that's trending. If it's trending, we cover it. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
What's going on, Claudia?
I am good. I'm ready to get into these topics. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. Hello, Armand.
What's going on, Claudia? You look good in that polka dot.
Oh, thank you. I'm giving you 1940s teas, old Hollywood glam. All right, are we drinking today? You know what? I'm going to stop asking soon because I'm just going to assume the answer is going to be yes for the rest of the
year. Yes. Buttery Chardonnay.
Yeah. Buttery Chardonnay, right? Baby.
It's almost like a job requirement at this point because that's when the shows get a little extra spicy and extra kind of like borderline cancellation. But that's kind of what they're here for, right?
All right. Absolutely. I'm going to need Armand to stop dressing like me, though. I mean,
just, what? Like,
every time I wear black, you want to put on something black.
Like, it is giving twins, energy. Okay. All right. All right. Let's get into the show. We are celebrating Women's History Month here on TGIF. So we'd like to kick off tonight's show by honoring Black women who are trailblazers in R&B music. All right, Al, let's start with you. Who would you like to honor that's a trailblazer in R&B music?
So I'm going to say Jennifer Hudson. And the reason why I chose Jennifer Hudson is because, listen, she placed like seventh on American Idol, right? So she didn't really like, she wasn't top three, she wasn't top two, and she didn't win. But she has garnered all the results of a top winner. And I just really, you know, admire her for that, especially given all the adversity she's gone through with her family. Can you imagine losing your mom the way that she has lost her mom and the family? So my homage is going to go to the wonderful Jennifer Hudson.
All right, Armand, let's go to you next.
My choice is Aaliyah. Aaliyah is an icon. She's so beautiful. I believe she's ahead of her time. She was ahead of her time, you know. Not only was she a fashion icon, no matter what, she an amazing performer, she was also an actress. So I just think that Aaliyah's legacy, I never want to see it go undone. I never want us to stop talking about her. I think she's one of my favorite artists of all time, and I just love her, and I feel like we should always uphold her legacy. So I want to honor her this month.
Very nice. I'm going to go with Foxhole's very own Celina Johnson. And I know she's not I feel like she's someone that gets overlooked for her flowers. And I like her not just because of her raspy voice. It just reminds me of like kind of back in like the Tina Turner days, but her versatility. She's a mother. She has an autistic son that she definitely, you know, and she has she's been married for many years. She's like kind of like an every woman, you know, she kind of covers all bases. She was huge on that song with Kanye West, All Falls Down, and a talk show host. And I personally can say this, she's just a good person.
Right.
And I just feel like a lot of people fly under the radar a little bit more than others. And I think there's no reason that Celina Johnson should not get her flowers. I absolutely love her. So Celina Johnson, sis, I salute you for getting it all, keeping it all together and giving looks as well. All right, let's get into these topics. During an interview, Usher revealed that he felt attacked and judged by his fans after he married his ex-wife, Tamika Foster. Now, Usher shared that he believes colorism played a part in the public scrutiny that he faced during their relationship. The singer is now married to Jennifer Goetia. What are your thoughts on this? Al, let's go to you first.
See, I'm confused by this. I got to be honest because I'm trying to remember back at that time, right? And to be honest, I always thought Tamika was beautiful. I really didn't see her skin color. I thought the biggest thing that we used to talk about back then was her age.
Agreed.
Now with what's going on, it's only 8 years. So now if we talk about it, it's like, oh, it's no big deal considering how Dre is moving in these streets. But back then, the fact that she was 8 years older, that's what I thought me and all my friends were talking about. And, you know, she just kind of came off at that time very motherly to him. So I honestly got to say, I don't remember the colorism conversation because in my circles, that wasn't anything that we talked about.
All right, Armand, what do you think? You agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't remember a colorism conversation in regards to that, but I do feel like there's been a colorism conversation in regards to this new wife. You know, people not really liking her. They're saying she looks like a man. They're saying she's not really pretty. And, you know, so I don't really know what to make of that. I think she's beautiful.
What do you remember, Claudia?
I remember people being very mean to her because she was an older woman.
Right. That's what I remember too.
And that happens a lot in Black families. Like a Black mama does not want no woman that's older, looks years older. I've definitely seen that. And I definitely know that is a fact. And I think she caught a lot of smoke, but I've gotten to know her and Tamika is a lovely woman. She really is. She and is. Like, I hate that people were so rude to her. Like, she is the woman that Usher chose to marry. Why are y'all mad? Why do y'all get mad in the atmosphere out there when someone chooses someone to be with that is a beautiful Black woman? Again, I say this all the time. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Now he's with this white woman or whatever she is that people think that she looks masculine or whatever. And you're not happy with that. And now you want Tamika back. Like, which is it? Y'all are never happy unless it's you. And that's what y'all need to get the hell over. It is their life. He's happy, and he's always liked an older woman, if you want to be honest. He's always liked the older woman, always.
And you know what, Tamika also, come on, if we got to be honest, Tamika's the one that raised his style level. Like, she was the stylist to the stars at that time and at the top of her game. So I felt like she had a huge influence on making him a fashion icon that he is today.
She did her thing. And I stopped giving Tamika smoke, and now she's on a reality show now, and they once again come for her. You know what? Y'all don't like strong Black women. Let's just admit it. So we'll just say it, leave it there. All right. In fraudulent news, Brooke Foster, a mother in Cobb County, was accused of stealing over $100,000 from a girls' softball team over a 2-year span. The softball team had raised the money for the program that was designed for girls 4 to 18. Now, unfortunately, Brooke the scammer was the treasurer of the team. Of course she was. What are your thoughts on this scamming news, Armand?
I feel like, you know, white people always can get away with stuff like this. You know what I mean? Because you feel as though, let's put them in charge of the money. You know, they're a part of the PTA and they're going to do great by, you know, great by the team. And they always end up getting over. They always end up getting over. A Black person wouldn't do that. That's definitely something a white person would do, for sure.
That's because we never get those jobs as treasurer.
Because they always think it's us. They always think
they're like, don't let the Black mama look after the money.
We scam now.
No, we scam. Listen, I'm saying, when I saw this story and I heard it was in Atlanta and I heard it was a mother, I was just praying, please don't let it be Black. Please don't let it be Black. So I was kind of relieved to see that it was not a non-Black person that did this. But you know what's so sad? That 4 to what I think 16 is the age group there. That it's just so sad to see someone steal money from those little girls, because girls who play sports, and Claudia, you know this, this is where they get the reinforcement for their self-esteem. It promotes teamwork. You know, it teaches women to respect protocol and little boys to respect protocol. And also it helps with their body imaging and obviously all of those things help with their academic performance. So I hope this doesn't jeopardize the team continuing to do what it does, which is create all of that for young girls.
Well, and women's girls' sports are grossly underfunded all the time. Like, people would complain about the WNBA. Like, it's just like all these women's sports, like, they don't get the same attention in high school and college. We just don't get the same attention. And, you know, that's where the money's needed the most. All right, yeah, moving on. President Biden's administration is considering slowing down electric cars by the year 2030 due to the weak demand. The administration said people still want gas cars. Now, the president is also aiming to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from gasoline-powered vehicles, the largest single source of greenhouse gases in the United States. All right, what are your thoughts? Are you team gas or team electric car? Oh, do y'all even have cars? Y'all, I don't know if you guys have cars. I know Al, you talked about you don't have a car, but what do you think about this, Al?
Oh, so I have tried out the electric car thing. I was really big on it because I was like, hey, I could save some money. I started it with the cars that I would rent. I would only rent electrical cars. But I'm gonna tell you, electrical cars create a whole different stress in your life. And I think it has a lot to do with the charging. So even though I was saving on the gas side, I was stressed out because the charge wasn't lasting long enough. And it depended on the car that you rent. If you use the air condition, if you use the radio, if you use anything in that car, if you go beyond a certain mile per hour, you're using the electricity of the car. And I didn't think about any of that. I didn't think about if I use Sirius XM versus regular radio. I didn't think about any of that when I was promoting and wanting to be a part of the electric scene to help with the environment. And it's stressful because you'll look up, you're at 70, and then you look up and you're at 30. And the thing about an electric car is when you run out of electricity, you are at an electric station for hours. It's not like if you run out of gas, you could just go to a gas station and you're back up within minutes. So for me, I think there's still a lot to figure out, but I will support it once they get these kinks out.
All right. Armand, do you have a car in
Yeah,
LA?
I have a car. I'm back and forth. Now, I've never had an electric car. However, my father has an electric car. He loves it. He definitely told me that there's a lifestyle change for sure. I've also heard that, it's a lot insurance-wise, it costs more. So I'm not really sure. I would like the idea of having an electric car, but I do realize you do have, there's a whole complete lifestyle change that
Yeah.
you'd have to be able to adjust to. And that's where you offset financially versus like the gas. Because with gas, you just can get up and go, put $25 in the car, 5 minutes, you're on the way. You know what I mean? Electric, you gotta sit there, and then God forbid you break down in the middle of nowhere, your battery runs out. I don't know. I'd be afraid. And then too, with the electric cars, they just don't seem that safe. We don't want them to get a mind of their own and then drive us into the ocean somewhere. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm a
they
little
have
nervous
been
about
doing
that.
that. They've been doing that. There's been look, a lot of Teslas been messing up. Elon, you do not have it all the way together with your weird self. Get those kinks out. Also, stop being racist at Tesla, allegedly. My ex had a electric car, and we were in New York, and I was like, I used to be jealous that he never had to like pay all this money for gas. Like, I'm in Texas, really huge state. Like, well, I drive long distances, and I got to fill that tank up a lot. But again, they're running out of electricity, having to find a place, and then there's always a line. You have to sit
That's
there and
right.
wait. I'm more concerned about the dangers of these cars, not really, they don't have all the kinks out. And with how y'all want money is going to be electronic and crypto-wise, and then the cars, I personally, and I'm old school in my thinking, it's a little too much control for me. Like, I feel like when you're
I
on the grid
agree.
like that, they can be like, oh, you owe some tickets. Bam, let me stop the
Yeah, and
car.
stop it.
Excuse me.
I didn't think about that. That could be
Yeah.
true.
And then they control your money and your car. So then what? I just feel like it just starts taking away a lot of anonymity, and just you can kind of like move around the way you want. I don't know, but I do like the fact that we're looking about the looking forward, looking out for the environment, because we do have to come up with a solution. Because the way global warming is coming, we're at the tipping point now where it wasn't supposed to be till 2050, where we almost can't even go backwards now. We can't even, it's almost getting to the point where we can't fix it. All right, keep it locked, because coming up next, Machine Gun Kelly revealed his new tattoos, and later find out why the FBI may be under investigation. Ooh, payback. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to the show. All right, Machine Gun Kelly revealed his new tattoos, and I must say it's a bit disturbing. What are your thoughts on his new tattoos? Is it giving black body vibes? Is it giving I want to be mixed? Am I biracial? I'm half black. What is it giving, Armand?
I think this stuff is crazy, and I think I understand freedom of expression and artistic expression, but I sometimes feel like these artists take it too far. You know what I mean? Like this, if this is real, this can't be reversed. I don't know. I think this looks crazy and uncomfortable, and it's just stupid.
Al?
You know what? I was going to give him a little bit of heat, but you know, I can't give him any heat. Did you know that he has a black daughter? So, you know, I know it's silly, but anybody that dates a black woman, has a child with a black woman, I'm going to give him a pass. Maybe he's trying to relate.
First of all, I have a white mother. If my mother showed up with a half black tattoo, half black,
you were like, get out of here.
Okay, Rachel Dolezal. No. What are you doing? This looks crazy.
But I don't know. I don't know. I just don't want to say anything bad. I think it's tough to raise as a white male. It's tough to raise a black daughter. He has a great relationship with his daughter. We know that he loves his daughter. We know that he's with Megan Fox right now, but wasn't she married to the guy from 90210? So I'm going to give him a pass. Not going to give him too much heat. It does look a little weird, a little crazy, but
I think he battled with mental illness. I think that's kind of what it. No, for real. I think that's what it's about. Him battling with mental illness and maybe drugs, allegedly. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think this has anything to do with his black daughter. I think this is just trying to shock people like always, because I just feel like we pick and choose when we're offended about things and blackface, but you can do a black chest. Where did we draw the line? I just think it looks crazy. And to sit there and just get, is it self-hate? Is he a self-hating white man to make his body black like this?
Yeah, maybe.
Because if a black person did this, we'd say they were self-hating. They were trying to be white. I
think it's this whole idea of artists being so edgy and so current and so new now, next and forward, and, you know, taking back, you know, what they want to do. And it's just
but
so
isn't the inking hierarchy, the more that you can take as far as ink, especially ink, black ink over your body, means that you're more of a man, or you're supposed to be bigger and better. So I think there's an inking hierarchy here that maybe he's flexing on.
Now, I do love a man and some tattoos. My little ratchet side be finding it very sexy, and I am not opposed to a little neck tattoo. I'm like, ooh, that's kind of sexy, because it's like you're like a little rebel. But that right there,
it's stupid.
I'd rather you can do some other things to be manly instead of doing this.
I still like it.
I know
Al, you don't like that.
Be like anybody rich, Armand.
You don't like that, Al. You don't like that.
Armand, you're new around these parts, so let me just tell you. Anytime the man is rich, Al is going to like it. If he broke, Al's going to say, this is an outrage. Where is the outrage? He is trying to be black.
You are delusional.
You can't be broke and dumb. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. I mean, I'm with you on that. All right, now Shaq opened up about his experience with loss while encouraging Philadelphia Eagles star Jason Kelce to enjoy retirement. Shaq said, what we had is what we got. You got the Super Bowl ring. People know who you are. Just enjoy. Because again, I was an idiot. I've talked about it a long time. I love my whole family. I'm a 100,000 square foot house. I'm in a 100 square foot house by myself. So he has some regrets in his life. What are your thoughts on Shaq's transparency, Al? What do you think?
You know, we love Shaq's transparency, and he would know. Shoot, I mean, he talks about it a lot. Like when he was with Shawnee and how he wished he had done differently. Look, Shawnee packed those kids up. How many was it? Like 5. And she left. And it devastated him. And he continues to talk about it and wish that he had done it differently. And I think that he is the person to speak in this space to Jason Kelce about, you know, his wife and the family situation. Now, we do know that Shaq do be outside. And that's the thing that we like about him. But I like this side of Shaq where he's like, listen, let's learn from the mistakes I made some. And let me tell you the truth surrounding it. So I was here for it.
Have you ever experienced a moment of losing everything, Armand?
No, I absolutely. And I'm sure if you live long enough, you will get, you know, to that point. Yeah. But what I liked about this is the fact that I think cumulatively, men across the globe are thinking about, wow, our family, our future, our lives. So they're now trying to build back and build one another and put the pieces back together with family. And I think that men should be celebrated with that, because men are now getting back into the homes and regretting the things that they have done to the
women. Where
are
they doing this? Where are they doing? Please tell me where, and I will move.
Do you live in the United States? Armand, do you live in the United States?
Men don't cheat. Black men are finding their way back home, and we are going to allow them to do so.
That must be a gay black man thing.
I don't even sound right coming out of his mouth right now.
You guys are, don't do that. You guys did this to Mike Epps. You won't let the men live and learn. Let Shaq live and learn and and, you know, and guide his brethren to victory.
Oh, no, we agree. We agree with you on that.
We like that part. Let me just say this. I was having a conversation with my girls last night about how a lot of men, especially Black men, because they're a hot commodity, every race wants them, right? Yeah. So I think they have this, like, air of, like, invincibility. Like, I'm never going to get old. I'm always going to be wanted. I'm always going to be able to get the girl. I can get someone pregnant at 85 years old. There's no rush for me. So they still stay out in the streets a lot longer. But I'm going to tell you this. I was just talking about this last night. I was out with my girls, if you go to the nursing homes, right, it's nothing.
Here she go with the nursing
homes. It's all men in diapers by themselves, and they all dragged and dogged women when they was hot boys and had a hairline. Now when you crap it on yourself and you in a diaper and your toes are cut off, now you wish you would have kept your family together. I love what they're saying. I love what Shaq's saying. I love what Mike Epps saying. I just want y'all to get it sooner before you get the black toenails. That's all. Just sooner.
I got
not
it.
The black toenail.
But at least they're getting it. You know
what
I mean?
Yes, at 70 years old. Yes, yes.
But they're coaching the newer generation, the ones after them now, like, you know, to get it, right?
Just pick your person and make it work. It ain't nothing out in these streets. Pick your person, right, Armand? You got your person. Pick your person and make it work.
Or until you can get it together, don't commit to a marriage and, you know, all of that.
Ready.
You know, when you're not ready. But see, I feel like these guys are so young and they're so wealthy and they have everything at that moment. And some of them feel like they want someone in their corner at that time, but they're not ready for what that marriage
is. That's not fair, Al. You've been married.
I'm talking about 20-year-old basketball players that are making $20 million.
No. We can't justify that because you justify Drea being with that man. So listen, that.
Oh, no, I didn't. No. You bargained at the wrong tree. I definitely did not justify Drea being with that young man.
No, listen. Y'all were both married on this panel, so we're not going to do that. Okay.
I tried. He's a liar.
I think you're missing the point. I'm not saying anything bad about being married. I'm saying young athletes, because you have access to so much. Look, women throw themselves at them every day by the dozen, if not by the hundreds. And I just feel like when you're young and you have all that money, your value isn't in maintaining a monogamous marriage. You know, your value isn't that one woman. I mean, because you just have so much going on. And so I just feel like for younger guys, and we talk about this in my family, because I come from an athletic family, pro basketball, pro football. And we say that you really should wait until you're out of your 20s or late 20s before you get married. As a professional athlete, starting making all that money when you're very, very young, because your brain and your head and your development is just not quite there. And I think if people started to do more of that, then we wouldn't see all this confusion and dysfunction.
Stop lying.
This tells the truth.
If you ain't ready, don't force it. And then also don't wait too long, because like I said, we don't want you when you got the black toenails and you got to eat only applesauce. Now you want to come, oh, I missed you, the best thing in my life. I messed up. I should have married you 30 years ago. Yeah, duh. Okay.
So, yeah, I do want to, I know we got to go, but do you think super successful athletes straight out of college should be thinking about marriage before 25?
I think it's the way they were raised, right? Some men are 25 are really mature for their age. And yes, and there are some men that are brought up with those kind of values that they have examples of that in their house. So they saw a happy marriage at an early age. Yes, those kinds, yes.
You have married an athlete before 25 years old?
Well, I was dating one when I was like 24 and I wanted to get married, but looking back, it probably worked out, because I do understand at my age now that he probably had to get a lot of that stuff out of his system.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you go from a broke college student to like making millions of dollars.
Yeah,
I understand the mentality, because I also think a little bit like a man in that regard, like get it out of your system. But the whole.
But there's grown 40-year-olds that can't keep a marriage going, like
absolutely.
With money. So age doesn't have anything to do with it. It's simply your mindset.
And how you were brought up.
It's your maturity, honestly. So you could be 20, 40 or 60. Like a man, most of the times, the older they are, they don't want to settle down. They want to find somebody younger, and they have multiple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I find that most people, as they're getting older, they're getting divorced after 20 and 30 years. Older people are not staying in relationships anymore.
They're not getting divorced because they got into it too early and they've changed. You're not the 25. When you're 40, you're not how you were when you were 20. You're not how you are when you were 30. Hell, you probably are different than what you were at 35. But okay, we got to go to the next thing. Okay. Go on to the next thing, Claudia.
You know, I think we're going to dedicate. I would like producers, I would like for us to do some more relationship talk on the show. I think we should. I think it's something that everybody that's watching this can relate to. They can't always relate to celebrity news, but they can always relate to relationships.
And that's hard. So I like
we're gonna definitely come up with a segment for that. Switching gears, over the past few years, we have noticed a spike in rap beefs, specifically Nicki Minaj versus pretty much every female rapper, Latto versus Ice Spice, Meek Mills versus Drake, you name it. Would you guys say the fans are the reason behind the rap feuds? Do you think they kind of keep things going because of social media? Armand, what do you think about this? Or is it them?
Absolutely not. And this is one of the things that really frustrate me when, you know, these celebrities, these rappers, they come out and they try to, you know, blame the media, blame the fans. First of all, we're just talking about the things that you guys put in your songs. Like, a lot of these celebrities, they diss and shade each other. And we, as the media and the general public, we just dissected and debate about it online. And then there goes the beef. But typically, these people are beefing with each other anyway about things that we have no idea about behind the scenes, whether it's a record, whether it's a producer, whether it's a sample, whether it's a collaboration, whether it's somebody sleeping with somebody. So there's a lot of different things that go on behind the scenes that they try to put on us when we just finally get the tea. So I think it's them, not us.
Of course he would. Al, what do you think?
I got a woosah.
Okay, I'll go real quick. I think it's a combination. I think some of it is the people in the beefs. And I think just like reality shows, a lot of times people squash things and then the show comes out 6 months later. And then the reaction is, oh, you said this. You done squashed the thing with the person. Now they're mad again, or they didn't see your green screen. And y'all be putting that on your blogs and discussing it. And then because I have an ego, right? I can't go out like no punk. So now I got to act like F her, even though we already squashed it. I think it's a little bit of a hybrid, in my opinion. And Ice Spice, I just want to go like this to your hair. I just want to shake it up real quick. Okay, Al, what do you think?
I feel like this. I feel like fans definitely fuel the flame, right? So even if it's smoke flame, the fans make it a fire, and it's okay. I think the artists are into that, because a lot of times when artists produce stuff, they're just rapping, you know, they're talking about how they feel, but it's how the fans react to that. They'll be like, oh, you're gonna let them disrespect you? You cannot go for disrespect, da 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 da. And that creates a bigger scenario to make it worse than it is. That's been my experience of watching the rap game for the 30 years that I've been watching it.
But let's just take really quick Ice Spice and Latto. So how it happened was Ice Spice was asked to finish. I mean, Latto was asked to finish one of Ice Spice's records, or she kind of asked like, who finished this record? And Latto acted as if she didn't know who Ice Spice was. However, she had reposted Ice Spice, you know, was following her, tagging her and stuff. And so if you act like you don't know me, that's shade.
As my airy sister said, Mariah Carey, I don't know her.
And you, the way you did that was shade, right? That's shade.
She did. She did.
Shade.
But I think they're giving you guys red meat. They're giving the bloggers red meat.
It doesn't take TGIF to put it out there.
They're feeding the beast, and that's what the beast is. Think about it now. It used to be the artist's beast. Now the beef between the artists, right? Now it's from the bottom up. It's the comments up. The comments drive the division nowadays.
Well, now it's not right. It's not like old days, right, where you would just like get album buys just sheerly off your talent.
Right.
You can have less talent now because you're popping or you're trending all the time. It's going to run those numbers up. So I understand the artists participating a little bit and then using their fan bases to kind of fuel that stuff along. I get it. I don't like it, but I'm from a low school where, it would just like be you and the microphone.
Claudia, exactly. Claudia, you remember back during our time, like when you got into it with another artist, you went into the booth and you used to rap it out.
Yeah.
Now you go to the comment section, you know, your fans go to the comment section and that's where you duke it out. So I want to see them return to the booth and in their lyrics knock it out.
Y'all young people are soft. You're soft. You ain't hard like us old timers born in the 1900s. All right, keep it locked because coming up next, find out why a lawsuit was filed against the FBI and later we had taken a trip back down memory lane. And where are they now? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show. In the news of Jeffrey Epstein, 12 of his accusers are suing the FBI for failing to protect them. The firm that filed the complaint said the FBI has turned its back on survivor victims, and this lawsuit seeks to hold the FBI responsible for the failure to act when it absolutely should have. Now, the complaint alleges that tips, reports, and complaints about Epstein's activities were provided to the FBI from 1996 to 2006, but FBI documents show the agency didn't open a case until July 24th of 2006. So they waited quite a long time to do something about it. What are your thoughts, Al?
I agree. Listen, if you watch that documentary, you saw how the FBI definitely, Jeffrey Epstein had some deep-rooted connections and they protected him for 10 years. For 10 years, they pushed those victims down and didn't listen to them. And in fact, took over the investigation from the West Palm Beach police station. So I think this is a good thing, and they need to be held responsible because had they responded to when this all started, then the hundreds of little girls that were affected and abused and traumatized, it wouldn't be.
Okay. All right. Armand, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree because I just feel as though now we're in this era where everybody is going to get exposed. So from this Epstein to Diddy, law enforcement. So anybody that has anything to do with this kind of stuff, they're going to be getting exposed. And I believe, you know, they should because these people have too much money and they're being able to infiltrate our justice system, our government, and it needs to end. It's scary, honestly, because it makes you feel as though like you have to cooperate with this kind of stuff or you won't be safe, you know? So I think that this definitely needs to happen. It needs to be pulled off, like, you know.
I feel like it's a dam that had a little crack in it. And like, you know, we try to patch it up, but we need a whole new dam. We need a whole new system because mm-hmm. they're too embedded in the system. They've mm-hmm. got people in high places, presidents, banks, the gatekeepers of everything, the people, the CEOs of networks. So they are able to craft messaging. They're able to suppress news stories. They're able to hit kill switches on stories. These are all things y'all can look up. I know what I'm talking about, y'all. And what happens is, okay, we'll get rid of a Jeffrey Epstein, but he ends up dying in prison, right? Only because of his affiliations with his higher ups. I'm sure if we really knew the people that he's in bed with or that he helped get in bed with young girls, it would blow our minds in all areas and even in the church. Okay.
Can you imagine? Because he's on that golf course. He's with the head of FBI or mm-hmm. Homeland Security. He's golfing with them at Mar-a-Lago. So, you know, he's kikiing, having fun with them, having drinks, sharing intimate stories, may have gotten hooked up once or twice. So when he comes across their desk, what do you do when a friend of yours that you just played 18 holes with and shared your secrets with? What do? You pass over it.
They're all friends and they'll throw one to the wolves every once in a while, like a Jeffrey. But then behind Jeffrey, there's probably 1,000 people that are connected to that at least.
It's a sick thing because it's almost like this euphoric feeling of like power, you know, like people are obsessed with power. And I just think that mm-hmm. when you get attached to that energy, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're supposed to be, you know, the head of FBI or a head of a bank,
right.
you're gonna fall into that dark demonic energy because it's the feeling that you get to have people, you know, to have that much power. So I just think people fall victim to the money and the power, and it doesn't matter who you are, you know? And so it's dangerous, it's scary.
It really is. All right. Tyrese claimed the writer's strike and the lack of funds from his Fast and Furious paycheck is the reason he is behind in paying $10,000 a month in child support. What are your thoughts on his excuse, Armand?
I'll let you go because I know this is your best friend. I like Tyrese. So I'll let you guys go.
What do you like? You like him as a singer?
Honestly, I miss old Tyrese. I don't like this legacy that he's got going on now. You know what I mean? I don't like the mental illness. I don't like the breakdown. I don't like the crying.
So what is it that you like about him again, Armand?
Just love, you know, Tyrese.
You think he's cute, probably?
No. Tyrese was that guy back in the day. I just hate for a black man like this that you've looked up to, that made great music, was a great actor. You know, I love the Fast and the Furious series. Like, I loved everything about Tyrese. He was one of my, like, black heroes. He looked amazing. He was a great guy. And I just hate that his legacy is starting to take a turn and we're seeing him in a different way. And it's just, that's unfortunate.
But you know what? The legacy didn't take a turn. He took a turn.
He took the turn, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like self-inflicted. Al, what do you think
about maybe he's mentally ill.
Everyone's mentally ill.
Everybody is
mentally ill.
Hello, Armand, welcome. You're on a panel. No, I'm kidding. I'm with you, Claudia, and there's a part of me that agrees with you too, Armand. Like, he was a great actor. He was a singer that crossed over to acting. He got on one of the largest platforms, entertainment platforms, Marvel, made great, great, great money. However, we're not talking about how good he sings. He's on tour. Why aren't we talking about your tour, Tyrese? We're not talking about his upcoming roles. We're talking about his personal life. And that's the part that's eroding his greatness, in my opinion. And the thing that really hurts me the most about this, you arguing with the mother of your child about support payments so that that child is safe, so that that child is fed, that child is housed, and that that child goes to a good school. What type of feeling, Tyrese, are you creating in your child about you? That's the part that I'm like, where's your disconnect? Now, you can fly to Dubai, stay in a great-ass suite in a hotel, which we all know to get over there is half of your monthly child support. That's $5,000 just to get over there. And if you take somebody with you, that's another $5,000. Like, what are we talking about here? And what are you saying to your child by saying, listen, I can't afford these payments to make sure that my child is fed, housed, and goes to great school, but I can travel, and I can buy my girlfriend cars, and I can buy my wife this, that, and the third. I don't know. It's the messaging for me that's just not right.
Tyrese, we've had our issues because I've not coddled you on this show, and I actually call you to the carpet because I do think, I remember when I saw that smile and I heard that voice in that Coca-Cola commercial years ago. Was it Coca-Cola? Yeah, it was Coca-Cola, right? Years ago, like, listen, we all were rooting for you, like Tyra Banks' voice. We were all rooting for you. But then you just started getting weird. Like, some celebrities, I feel like they should not be on social media, because I feel like before social media, you were sexy. You were interesting. Mm-hmm. You were like that dude. We were like, people would go crazy for that dark chocolate, that white smile, that beautiful voice. And now you're a meme on the internet. And you are, I just looked you up. You're worth at least $25 million, right? I do know that a lot of those numbers are inflated because a lot of celebrities go in and type it themselves, but you can afford $10,000 a month. You could afford that when you're with the woman. I think this is a case of you're mad at your ex-wife. You want her back, allegedly, my opinion. So it's like making the child, you're punishing the child for that. You have done so many Fast and Furious movies. You've done so many other films. You tour. I know, listen, I book tours and I know ballpark figure of what you make a night. It would be like 10 minutes of you on stage to pay that child support.
Right.
It really would be. And this I know for a fact. I'm not talking out of my ass here. I know this. So when you say stuff like this, then we got to cover you. Then you're going to get mad. Then you're going to send messages and tell Claudia to shut her mouth, which I never will. And I just feel like, Tyrese, if you would just take a break and let us go get back to what we've made us fall in love with you as a talent, it would really do so much for your legacy. And you can get out of the toilet. And then we can all feel for you the way Armand feels for you.
And it would take no time. It would take no time.
We're forgiving. Black people are forgiving.
We're forgiving. It would take no time.
Go to Essence Festival. Bring your black girlfriend. Go get her bag. Sign a few autographs. Don't be obnoxious. Calm down with the diva antics. Stop trying to take all the money on tour. And, you know, like, keep it cute. And we'll forgive you. We love a success story, a comeback story. All right. I'll wait for your response. Keep
You're
it locked.
Get blocked again.
You probably already blocked me.
Don't be blocked.
He's like, okay. Anyways, keep it locked because coming up next, find out what your favorite celebs have been up to. And later we are playing a fun game of Guess Who. We'll be right back. Hi, Tyrese. Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, have you guys ever wondered what happened to your favorite child actors or those viral sensations that broke the internet at some point in time? Well, gather your tea and let's take a trip back down memory lane in Foxholes. Where are they now? All right, tonight's search will be devoted to some of our favorite actresses in the 90s. Let's start with Karen Parsons, who played the hilarious role of Hilary Banks in the hit show The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And decades later, the actress is now an accomplished author, mother, wife, and advocate for arts and education. What are your thoughts on the journey of Karen Parsons? Armand, do you know?
I know who that. You know I know Hillary.
We gotta okay. Ask.
I love it. She was my favorite character because she was like
she?
The
yeah, really?
Of course.
Tell us why. You can't give because, us one scene. Watch, look, go ahead.
No, she was the dumb one. She was like the ditzy one.
When a man's
was
like voice the uppity goes up, one. He's lying.
She was the uppity one. She was like the pretentious one. She was the ditzy one. I loved that for her. She was like the pretty one.
You
I loved
it.
She
like
was
her?
The bougie one. No, I just always thought she was like the airhead. I loved that. I loved it. But now she's writing children's books, so I think it's dope. And she was one of the pretty ones.
Okay, Al, you were around.
I'm going to give a shout out to her. She's the president of Sweet Blackberry, where they highlight historical figures in a series in the book, children's books. And she also do animated films. People don't know this, but she has made more money doing animated films than she did when she was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. My hat goes off to Karen Parson, and way to just show the range of your talent from going on in front of the camera to behind the camera to writing books and to being on animated films. Thumbs up.
What an iconic role. Like, it's such a memorable role. And she was so funny, you know, and I love seeing a wealthy Black family and for her being bougie on the show. And I'm not doing that. Unapologetically wealthy. I love that. And I actually want that on my tombstone when I die. That's what I want. That's my aspiration. Unapologetically wealthy and bougie. I'm taking all that. All right. Next, we have everyone's childhood crush, Jasmine Guy, a.k.a. Whitney Gilbert from the hit show A Different World. Now, decades later, Jasmine continues to dominate the entertainment space with groundbreaking roles in film and television. And she recently won an Emmy for Outstanding Actress in a Short Form Comedy or Drama Series for Chronicles of Jessica Wu. Are you guys here for Jasmine's successful journey, Al?
Absolutely. See, I think the thing that we don't know about her, she was also a dancer, a choreographer, a singer. I mean, she did a lot. And then she went behind the camera. She was also a director. And we love the fact that she was recently nominated for an Emmy because she's never been nominated for an Emmy before. So to see her come full circle and to get the flowers that she deserves, it's incredible to watch. Thumbs up and shout out to Jasmine Guy.
All right. Armand?
I actually love that show. Different World is where I started really getting a lot of my fashion ideas from. Like, this really opened my eyes up to fashion. I loved her character. I loved Dwayne. I love all of this. So I loved her voice. I loved all this. The Different World was like, that was my era where I started to feel like I want that 80s vibe. I wanted to wear my glasses open. I was wearing like the vintage shirts. I used to go literally and shop. I used to go to the Goodwill to buy the shirts with all the little jewels in the like your like my grandmother's old shirts. I used to go buy those little old shirts from the Goodwill to like try to dress like them. So it was cool. That was a good time.
Jasmine Guy, I got to work with her on a show called My Parents, My Sister, Me. It was about a show about a blended mixed family. And she was such like, you know, when you meet people you like grew up watching and that you admire, it was just surreal. Such a sweetheart. And I love that she is getting her flowers still to this day. Another iconic role that no one could ever play that role but her.
No.
All right. Yeah. Last but not least, we have Lark Voorhees, who captured the hearts of many as Lisa Turtle in the hit show Saved by the Bell. Now, decades later, the actress will be reprising her role as Lisa Turtle in the reboot of Saved by the Bell on Peacock. The announcement comes after Lark revealed in 2020 that she felt slighted and hurt that she wasn't asked to be a part of the show's reboot, which was insane. Insane. Are y'all here for Lark reprising her role decades later, Armand?
Now, here's this one. I never really watched Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm. What?
So, yes, this is the one I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I know her, but I've never really watched Saved by the Bell. I've seen her before, but I don't have enough of an opinion. She didn't really inspire me that much like the other girls did. They were more polarizing.
How dare you?
Al, save the segment.
She probably had, Armand, just to let you know, she probably had one of the toughest jobs at that time because she was a part of an all-white ensemble, and she was the only Black female in that ensemble. And in Hollywood, that was a big, big, big deal because she held that spot down for so long. She was like our icon in speaking in spaces that we normally weren't allowed. Like, if you look at Friends, there were no Black characters on Friends, but she was that Black character. The sad part for me, and the other part that I really respect her, at least, Lisa, is that Lisa also had a mental disorder. She had what was called schizoaffective thought disorder, which made her present as a schizophrenic and as a polar, having been bipolar. And she talked about it on Dr. Oz. And she felt like back then, if you were an actor in Hollywood, you weren't able to come out and you weren't able to share it. And she in the industry didn't know how to handle you. But that was what she battled with the most. And that's why she wasn't invited back for the reboot at first. So this woman right here gets an extra thumbs up and an extra shout out for me for not only being able to juggle your mental illness, but also just being able to show up every day at work and do a great job, because you definitely inspired and motivated a lot of people of color, in my opinion.
Shout out to Log Voorhees, because I had to be tough to, it's already tough to be an actress and to be a Black woman and a brown skinned chocolate, beautiful Black girl in that time. So to be able to have to battle with, you know, to be successful in battling with mental illness, shout out to you, sister. I'm glad you're
here. And I'm sorry, I called her Lisa. Her name is Lark.
Lark. All right. Keep it locked, because coming up next, we are playing a fun game of Guess Who. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, soulmates, what makes this show unique is that we can take deeper dives to analyze ourselves when it comes to mental health, self-growth, and more importantly, relationships. So what do you think are some of the top three disadvantages of dating yourself? What would your people that you've left in your past say about you? Like, let's start with Armand. Disadvantage of dating you.
I think that I'm a little bit I'm very flirtatious, so I'm a flirt. Like, I literally flirt a lot. I lose interest quickly, and I change my mind a lot.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not that bad. I just feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very friendly. So, like, if I was with you, Claudia, or Al, I'd probably flirt with you guys. But that's just what I am. I flirt with everybody, and I think that people...
So, while you're with us, you'd be flirting with other people.
That would drive me...
No, it's not really that. It's just like, I'm just a social person. So like, if we have a drink, I just flirt all the time. But also I change my mind a lot. Like, I'll have an idea that I want to do this, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't really want to do this anymore. I don't like this direction. And then two, I'm a very affectionate person. So I need a lot of attention. I love a lot of affection. I really love to kiss and touch and hold and cuddle and do all that stuff all day long. And if I don't get that,
flirt with somebody else.
If I don't get that though, then I start losing interest.
You know what that sounds like to me, Al?
Narcissism.
It sounds like we didn't need three things. I think it could have just said for the streets. A little for the streets ish. No? Okay. Okay. Thank you for being vulnerable. We're not going to check you that much. Okay, Al, what are the top three disadvantages of dating you?
For me, you guys already know one of them. I work way too much. I have like 4 or 5 jobs all the time because I'm a provider. I'm afraid of never being able to provide for the person that I appreciate and honor. So number two, I think I'm an overthinker. I overthink a lot of stuff. Like, so for me, Armand, I would overthink your flirting. You couldn't say to me, oh, I'm just flirtatious and I'm flirting. No, I'd be like, oh no, you being disrespectful. That's not, you know, that's not cool. You with me, you need to honor your man. So I overthink stuff like that. And the last thing for me is, if I'm attracted to you and I'm with you, I require a great deal of sex and affection. It doesn't have to always be sex, but I like the fact that if we're sitting beside each other, we're holding hands, or your hand is on my lap or on my leg, or I'm showing some type of affection. I'm very kind of affection driven. So I think those are disadvantages.
It's the Gemini and us, Al. We have similar traits.
Yeah.
While you were playing.
All right, mine are, let's get them up on the screen. My disadvantages, character flaws. Now that means I'm not that tolerant about character flaws. I think there's a difference between a mistake and a character flaw. Now a mistake, I can 1000% be tolerant and get over a mistake. And I think you can talk out just about anything. But when it's a character flaw, I feel like there's no coming back from it. Cause I'm not one of those delusional women that think that I could change anybody. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just accept it like, okay, they're just like that. So I'm out. So I kind of tap out really quickly. If I see a character flaw, I'm like, nope, I know that's not gonna work for me. I know what gets on my nerves. So I'm out of here. And if I see you out, it's like I never even saw you before in my life.
There's no compromising.
No.
Wow.
Well, I've done it before and then I've been burnt so many, like I've been burnt before, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm as I'm getting older, I don't have that much time to waste. I'm in the fourth quarter. Well, the end of the third, I think. Works too much. Same thing. I feel like a man would feel a little bit like, damn, like again, you know, okay, you can't make this. Until I feel the security of being in a partnership with someone where we're splitting bills, I feel like I have to, because I don't really have a safety net. I don't have rich parents. I don't have a retirement plan. You know, it's just me. And I pride myself on not needing to be a burden to a man. I never want to be that, unless he's my husband. And spend so much time on the computer. That's something I have to admit. It was hard, but I wanted to be honest. I do know that my ex definitely felt a way about me always being on the computer and felt like he was being ignored. So I think because of the nature of my job, I have to always know what's going on. So I'm always like, and that's my excuse. But then sometimes I just go down rabbit holes and has nothing to do with work. So I have to just admit, take that L. I got to be honest. All right. Move. That was fun. We'll do more of these again. Yeah, okay. And other. Okay. In honor of Women's History Month, we're going to test your knowledge of some dynamic women who have taken over the media. Are y'all ready to play Guess Who?
Let's go.
Yes.
Okay. Let's cue the music. First up, this actress had us feeling insecure about rapping lyrics in the bathroom mirror and falling back in love with our exes. Can you guess who?
Issa Rae.
Issa Rae, yeah.
And that was the For the Dick Challenge. All right, this talk show, next talk show host went from anchoring on the Today Show to launching her own talk show back in 2019. Can you guess who?
Tamron Hall.
Tamron Hall.
Some tea. Donald Trump had such a crush on her, so I know it kills him when she clowns him. All right, our next trailblazer made history by winning the most Grammys, but that's excluding Album of the Year. Can you guess who?
Most Grammys?
Yeah, I think it's Beyonce.
Most Grammys has got to be Beyonce. She won the most Grammys, but I don't know the other part.
They didn't give her Album of the Year. That's who I think it is.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's got to be Beyonce.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
All right. The next actress saved the last dance in the hit show Scandal. Can you guess who?
Kerry Washington.
Yeah. Who else?
Scandal's got to be.
Yeah, that guy's got to be her.
Yeah.
This talk show host was an Oscar nominee before the debut of her self-titled talk show. Can you guess who?
Oprah.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer Hudson.
Oh.
Oh, wrong. Okay. Yeah, Oprah. Look at you getting with the old school.
Okay, go ahead. Right.
This actress received an honorary Oscar at the 2024 Governor's Award. Can you guess who?
Angela Bassett.
And that one made me mad. That. Give her a real one.
Right, we're bad about that.
They keep playing our faces with her. This is ridiculous. But we love you, Angela. And yeah, we love you. All right, real quick, let's try to squeeze this in. In other troubling news, Antonio Brown has been ordered to pay a celebrity jeweler $1 million after failing to return the borrowed items. According to reports, the celeb jeweler lent his diamond items to Antonio in 2022. But he said, I'm keeping this. He never returned them. Are you surprised?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we're not surprised. We're more disappointed. He reminds me of like Tyrese. Come on, bro. You're way too attractive. You're way too successful. You really don't have to use these Kanye West antics. Like, get it together, turn the page, and we will take you back in because he's very likable.
Okay, Armand.
I same thing Al said. Antonio Brown is just too talented, look too good to be acting like
that. He looks great and he's a waste of talent. I'm sorry.
I know,
too trash, Keisha Cole, the way you went in on Keisha Cole and was real dusty about it. You giving scrub energy. I used to be a rider for you, but now I think you're just crazy. Give that man that jewelry back. Bum behavior. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Foxhole Face Off. See you back here tomorrow.
Bye. All right. Have a good night, soulmate.
Bye.